know, we have all heard the saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Most of us have grown up hearing children's sermons, Sunday school lessons, or children's moments in worship that describe the life of a Christian, that Christian life as a journey to heaven. It says, if in some place out there or of reach or experience, but if we live good lives and are not bad boys and girls, when we die, we will go to heaven. You see, the man in our story today from Mark's gospel is not talking about going to heaven. He's interested in how to experience eternal life in the here and now. Perhaps in exploring his profound question, we can lay to rest the notion that heaven or eternal life, whichever expression we choose, is a place or something outside and unreachable through our human experience. In other words, you have to know the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are all conditioned by our environment. What have we kept since we were little children? What have we brought with us through our life from childhood to adulthood? Think about the things that you bring with you. Think about the things that you have said. Think about something that you still might be clinging to. You see, as adults, we bring our histories, our circumstances, and our experiences with us. They are a part of things that we have with us all the time, and some people know about and others don't, but they shape who we are. You see, our outlook on life is tied to that. It's tied to that conditioning. Parents, teachers, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and even our enemies all have contributed to who we are, to what we think, and how we live our life. You see, the man in Mark's story was also conditioned by such influences in his life. He had never murdered anyone. He didn't run around on his wife. He never stole anything from anybody, never told a lie. Wow. He'd not defrauded anyone, and he had honored his mom and his dad. He had been a good person. This fellow could be described as the preeminent community example of integrity. Here he was. It was him. But there was just one thing in his life that had taken a complete hold of him, and that was his possessions. That was the things that he owned, the things he had trouble letting go of. You see, I am persuaded that Jesus never talked about going to heaven. What he talked about was experiencing heaven. As he said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 21, the kingdom of heaven is among you. The kingdom of heaven is among you. It is within you. He never talked about us being good in this life so we can get to heaven. He talked about heaven in this life. What the man in this story needs to do is what you and I need to do. We need to discern and discover how to allow ourselves to be claimed by the love of God. In doing so, we embark on a lifetime journey, now and eternal, of experiencing the goodness of God, the same goodness that claimed Jesus. Unlike Luke's gospel, Mark and Matthew avoids describing the man's position in the community. But we do not. He has many possessions, it says. Luke describes him in his gospel in chapter 18, verse 18, as a ruler. Perhaps that's significant. He calls him the rich young ruler. As a ruler, he would know what it was like to have power over people's lives. Who better than this man to understand the power of possessions over one's own life? If he had possessions of lots of things and control of lots of people's lives and how he hired and how he fired and decisions he made that would wipe people out. So he had a lot of power. I believe this man leads us all to Jesus. We all have something that possesses us, something that rules us, something that interferes with us living life on God's terms. You see, the man's question is our question that we find in Mark 10, 17. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Let's take a moment and consider what he used and why he used the word inherit. You see, the word inherit in our text today is a Greek word that is known as kyrimosi. And kyrimosi, as one of its shades, is to share in, to inherit. You see, the man is essentially asking, what must I do to share in God's blessings? And Jesus tells him that he needs to come to grips with the one thing that keeps him from sharing life on God's terms, namely, his wealth. It is clear from the man's response that he has much work to do. You see, he realizes that it will be nearly impossible for him to relinquish what he holds so dear. It is his barrier to sharing in the blessings of God. What must you and I do to share in the promise of God's blessings today? What must we do? What areas of our lives need a little bit of work? Or that we may share in God's life, life that is eternal. You see, based on Jesus' encounter with this man, God understands that we all have something in our lives that rules us, that rules who we are. It is no accident that the writer notes Jesus' encounter is based on his compassion towards the man. In verse 21, he says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I believe Jesus' anguishing for 40 days following his baptism included his own wrestling match with what sought to rule his life and mission as God's Messiah. You see, the temptations were all there. They were all things that he had to face and he had to deal with so that he was in command of them on God's terms, his Father's terms, and they would not possess him. He had to come to terms with those things that were breaking his heart. He had to come to terms with those things and let go of. You see, you and I follow one who completely understands how difficult, but not impossible, it is to rule over those things that would dominate us or rule us. So, what are our ruler? What is our ruler? What is ruling us? What gets in our way of being Jesus' disciples? You know, we are all called to be Jesus' disciples, but what gets in the way of us being true disciples of Jesus Christ? What sends us away shocked and grieving because we think we cannot live without them? You see, the young man, the rich man in today's story, went away questioning. He went away because he couldn't let go. You see, each and every one of us today, you and I, must answer this question for ourselves. What must we do to have eternal life? Let us pray. Great and mighty God, we do thank you this day for your word. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for your servants, Mark and Luke and John and Matthew, Peter, James, John, all the ones that worked with him, Mary and Dorcas and Tabitha and all the ones that followed, the many Marys that were a part of his life, those people that stopped and listened and dealt, the Barnabases of the world that went around and encouraged, the people that did things even though they didn't want to, those people who said, Lord, yes, if you really say that I must, I must. The people like Paul. The people who went around teaching and doing. The people who gave up so much. The people each and every day in this world who suffer at the hands of someone else. Those who suffer at someone else's hands because they rule over them and lord over them. Lord, we ask this day that you teach us, your children, how to be better stewards of the things that you give us, of our time and of our talents, of the things that we share and do and live and be, that you allow us that opportunity always to serve you, to allow us to let go of those things and to allow us to remember that we are all your children, that we are all in this thing together, that you have called us all according to your own gifts, to the gifts that we have to share with one another, to share in relationship with other people. So, Lord, this day continue to remind us of that. Are we being ruled by somebody? Are we the ruler? Are we the one that is asking? Are we seeking? Are we always wanting to know? So, Lord, this day remind us what it is that we have to do to have life eternal here and now. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.